are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
Wait.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Impact and Freedom Generation Ministries podcast. That's right. We're happy that you guys decided to tune in. I'm excited to share the word with you guys. As you know, we got rid of Rate That. So now we're just getting right into the word. Let's do this thing. Ben just said that we did 33 weeks of Rate That crumble cookie. That is diabolical. But we only took a bite. So it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, I saw Caleb Egbert today, Ben. And yeah. He's here, and he told me, he was like, dude, you look like you're like in great shape right now compared to the last time I saw you. I was like, thanks, man. So clearly I wasn't eating that much crumble cookie. Anyway, let's get into this. Here we go. In this video, no, I'm just kidding. That was for my friend Evangelist Wesley does all his videos. He goes, in this video, we will be discussing, anyway, let's go ahead and get into this. Today, what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk about building his kingdom. Building his kingdom. You know, many times in life and in ministry specifically, people are trying to build their own thing. And in life, we see this too, not just ministry, people trying to build their thing. They're trying to build what they're doing, and they're trying to promote themselves, and they're trying to, build their kingdom, really. But what we do not find that in the Bible. What we find in the scriptures is Jesus building his kingdom, in us playing a role in building his kingdom. We must not forget in our pursuit to build something for God that we are in fact building it for God and for his kingdom. We're not building it for ourselves. We're not building it so that people can say that we're just the best, or we're just the greatest people, or you just have the best ministry, or you're just, you know, better than everybody else. It's not about competition in God's kingdom. It's not about trying to be against other people in the kingdom of God. Rather, it is about building God's thing. What I want to do is I want to build God's kingdom. And if I devote myself to building God's kingdom, then God will help me build whatever I'm building for him here on earth. That's it. I want to build his kingdom. I want to be a kingdom builder. I don't want to be a Joey Santora builder. I'm not trying to build Joey Santora's kingdom. I'm not trying to build Faith Church's kingdom, Impact's kingdom. I am trying to build the kingdom of God to the best of my ability. And let's get into this in the Bible in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to go to some scriptures and share this with you. The reason why this is an Impact Youth and Freedom Generation Ministries podcast now is because obviously for those of you that follow my ministry, you know that I've started a nonprofit ministry called Freedom Generation Ministries. The purpose of this ministry is to help youth pastors and students put on evangelistic events at their youth groups and at their schools. And we want to help people do that. We want to help youth pastors build the kingdom of God. That's exactly what we want to do. I'm not trying to, again, build Joey Santora's ministry. I'm not just starting this ministry because I want to be more known, or I want to be, you know, the leader, or the one that is, you know, above everybody else. That's not the point of what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to see more kids in this generation get saved. More people in this generation get saved. And as a result of people in this generation getting saved, then people in generations to come will be saved. So that's what I want. That's my heart. And I want to be very clear. I am not leaving as the youth pastor of Impact Youth. I am not trying to start an evangelistic ministry. As you're going to see in weeks to come, I'm going to be advertising that I'm preaching at different places. I'm going to be preaching somewhere very soon. I'm going to be preaching in actually two places very soon. We're going to advertise that. But I'm not trying to be an evangelist. I want to be clear. I do not feel called to be an evangelist. Just because I'm traveling to preach somewhere doesn't mean that I'm trying to be an evangelist. I'm invited as a pastor to go and preach at another youth ministry so that I can impart what is on my life and what God's deposited in me in those places. That's what I'm doing. I'm not going because I'm trying to be an evangelist. I am a pastor. I'm called to do that. That is the office that I was called to. We must remain in the office by which we are first called. That is in the Bible. And I am a pastor. I will pastor at Impact Youth. Until the Lord moves me elsewhere, but that is not now. That is not soon. So don't get nervous if you think that I'm going to be abandoning you. If you're an Impact student, that's not what's happening. This is something that I'm adding to my, that God has added rather, not, I'm not adding. God has added this assignment to me. God doesn't take away. He adds to the things that we're already doing. So, he's adding this assignment to me, to start this Freedom Generation Ministries and to see the kingdom of God built and advanced in a greater way. And, I felt this assignment be given to me by the Lord after we have, had some great events and we've seen a lot of souls saved over here at Impact. So, that's the point of why it is a Freedom Generation Ministry podcast and an Impact Youth podcast as well. We're going to do some stuff on this podcast and YouTube channel and wherever else you listen to us that are Freedom Generation specific teachings, where I maybe focus on things that are directed towards youth pastors and directed towards high school students. But then we'll also have our general podcast that we'll have every week, which is for any Christian who wants to listen. Thank you for being so faithful and tuning in. I don't mean to give you a long introduction. I just wanted to give you an update on what was going on. And I'm so excited for everything that God has. I'm excited to be a blessing to my generation to the best of my ability and ultimately to build God's kingdom. But Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, man, Ben, if they didn't have time to get to Matthew 6 verse 10 on that one, then maybe you're newly saved or something like that. I don't want to cast judgment without knowing. But if you've been saved for a while, okay, anyway, Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. I'll start in verse 9. It says, pray then like this. This is Jesus giving us a model of prayer. I've taught on this before. I'm not going to go into that, but Jesus is giving us a model of how we can pray. And he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. That this statement, hallowed be your name, is basically saying, may your name be kept holy, or it is a offering of praise to the Lord. And then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Remember that a part of the Lord's prayer is your kingdom. Speaking of God's kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done. I think many times how ministries read that scripture, or how people read that scripture, is they read, may my kingdom come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May my ministry come and may my ministry's will be done. Or may my life goals be done. But what this scripture says is, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not trying to build my kingdom. I'm not trying to build my kingdom. I'm not trying to build Joey Santora's kingdom. I am not trying to build my thing. I am trying to build the thing that God has tasked me to do, absolutely. But what I mean is, I am not trying to detach from the kingdom of God. I am not so tunnel vision to my ministry and the things that God's asked me to do that I neglect that there are other great ministries that are out there that are doing great things for God. I'm not so, tunnel vision with Impact Youth that I don't recognize that there's other youth ministries that are out there that are doing tremendous things for God. I can name a couple of them right now. I'm not going to, but there are a couple out there that I'm thinking of right now in my head. They are doing great things for God. They have a great youth ministry. And guess what? I'm not in competition with them. We're on the same team. We're on the same team. It's like on a sports team. You know, if somebody on my team is performing well, I'm not trying to compete with them. I'm excited that we're winning games because, you know, they're performing well. If on a basketball team, my friend Caleb that I mentioned weirdly on the podcast for, I don't know why, but I just decided to say it. My friend Caleb, one of my very good friends, Caleb was an awesome basketball player. Caleb was a better basketball player than I was in high school. And I was also quite good. I scored a lot of points, but I wasn't upset after a game if Caleb scored 25 points and I score 22 points and we won and, oh, Caleb scored three more points than me. Dang it. That's not being a good teammate. That's not being a part of the team. If on my baseball team, if I go, you know, 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts and my friend goes 3 for 3 with, you know, 3 home runs in a game and we win, yeah, I may be disappointed that I didn't contribute to helping the team win, but I'm not going to be upset with the guy who went 3 for 3 with 3 home runs. I'm going to be happy that he contributed. The kingdom of God is a team. We are working together to take down the kingdom of darkness. Remember this, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of this dark world. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians. I believe it's chapter 6, verse 10 or verse 11. That's what it says. So I'm not wrestling with people, but it is amazing how many people, especially in the ministry, try to wrestle against other ministers, wrestle against other ministries. Why are you wrestling against somebody who's on your team? Why are you wrestling against somebody who's on your team when we can instead, we can work together to take down the kingdom of darkness? Now, I'm not saying that we need to partner with every single ministry on the planet, because I'll be honest, there are some ministries I will not partner with because we are not of like-minded faith. There are things that I disagree with in them and such. But that doesn't mean that I'm rooting against them when they're seeing souls saved. There are ministries that are out there that don't believe, you know, don't believe that healing is necessarily for everybody. I 100% disagree. The Bible teaches otherwise. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is always the will of God. But guess what? I'm not going to boo or trash on them when 200 people give their life to Christ in like a service that they're having. I'll still be happy that 200 people came in the kingdom of God. I can still be excited about that. Why? Because my battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and rulers of this dark world. I want to work with people to take down the kingdom of darkness. I want to be a kingdom-minded person that is trying to build God's kingdom, not trying to build my kingdom. There are people that get so upset with me for the things that we're doing. They don't like our spring kickoff events, that our Freedom Gen outreaches that we do, spring kickoff, back to school bash, heat wave conference. They hate it. They hate it. They hate that. Oh, I just hit my mic. They hate that, you know, people are getting saved somehow. It's like, how do you even have the Spirit of God and you hate that there's hundreds of kids giving their life to Christ? How do you have the Spirit of God and you hate that kids are being wrecked by the power of God and set on fire for Christ at a youth conference? How do you hate that? How are you upset about that? I don't understand that at all. Well, you know, I just want to have more people at my youth conference than at your youth conference. It's like, really? Like, when did this become a competition? We're supposed to be building the kingdom of God. We're supposed to make every effort, the Bible says, and I'm just kind of, this just out of my spirit. We're making every effort to keep the bond of peace. We're making every effort to be in unity with one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 is very clear, to make every effort of unity, to keep the unity of the faith. We want to be in unity with each other to the best of our abilities. And so that doesn't mean I have to partner with anybody. There's a organization that wanted to partner with us for something. And I said no, because there were some doctrinal things that I disagreed with them. But I still said, it's great that you guys are seeing people be saved, though. It's great that, you know, you guys are reaching people in the places that this organization reaches people. I'm not rooting for their downfall, but I can't partner with them doctrinally because we don't have the same alignment 100%, or, you know, even in major areas, there's disagreement. But at the end of the day, I'm still excited that the kingdom of God is growing and that the kingdom of God is advancing. You know what? I'm going to show you this. I need to look it up because this is just in my spirit, and I just need to remember where it is. And by remember, I mean I need to look it up on the internet. Yes, there it is. Go to Luke chapter 9, verse 49. Luke chapter 9, verse 49. This will help somebody, and this will encourage you, especially if you're in the ministry and you're watching this right now. This is going to help you a lot, because unfortunately there's this competitive spirit in the ministry that is not the Spirit of God, where People just are like against great things happening in the kingdom of God. The disciples had to even deal with this, and that's what I'm about to get into right now. The disciples had to deal with this. I'll show you. John said to Jesus, "Master, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he isn't in our group." Does that not sound like the church today? "Master, we saw somebody casting out demons in your name, but we reprimanded them and we said, you're not a part of our group. You're not a part of Impact Youth. What are you doing healing the sick? You're not a part of Impact Youth. What are you doing seeing people saved?" I'm using our ministry so that, you know, nobody can get mad at me. I'm saying, you know, you're not a part of Impact. Oh man, how can you, you know, go and do that? You know, you have to be a part of Impact to do that. And let's see what Jesus said. Let's see if Jesus agrees with that mindset. But Jesus said, "Don't stop him. Anyone who is not against you is for you." Jesus said, "Don't stop him. He's helping build my kingdom. He's casting out demons in my name. Don't stop him." We have to thank God that Christ is being preached. We have to thank God that the gospel is advancing. Even if we don't like somebody's personality, even if we don't like how somebody maybe might be doing things, if the gospel is still being preached, if people are still being healed, if the sick are still being raised, if people are still being saved, if demons are still being casted out, then we still have to give God glory that his kingdom is advancing, because I am not in competition with people that I'm supposed to be on the same team as. We have to be kingdom builders. We have to be kingdom minded. We have to build his kingdom. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18? Jesus said, "I will build my church." I love that. "I'll build my church," capital C. He didn't say, "I'll build a church." He didn't say, "I'll build Faith Church." He didn't say, "I'll just build one church," and that one church like location. He said, "I will build my church, the ecclesia. The church is the body of Christ. Everyone who comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, anyone who's a Christian is a part of the church of Jesus Christ. He is building his church. He is building his kingdom. And guess what? Instead of me just trying to build my thing without God and trying to worry about my kingdom being built, I'm going to say, God, I'm going to build my thing that you've tasked me to do, and I'm going to keep it in line with your kingdom. I'm going to help grow your kingdom, God. I'm putting your kingdom first. I'm not worried about making my name known. The Bible says that that will happen as a natural blessing, the blessing of Abraham. He said, "I'll make your name great." I'm not worried about making my name great. I'm not worried about trying to build my kingdom. I know that if I build God's kingdom, that there will be blessings that will follow that. But I'm not even doing it for that priority. I'm doing it because I want to see God's kingdom continue to advance. I just want to see it advance. I want to see it grow. I mean it when I say that I'm excited. There's a youth ministry in Massachusetts. I'll just shout them out real quick. Some of you guys maybe watch our podcast, New Life Church with Pastor David Stewart, who's the senior pastor of that church. Great man of God. I respect him greatly. And there's his youth pastor, Pastor Eric McIntyre, and his wife, Juliana. Wonderful people of God. They're awesome. I love them very much. I love what God's been doing in their youth ministry, and it's been growing so much. They've grown. They took the youth group from like 35 people, where I think Pastor Eric was telling me they had 82 students recently or something like that. What a blessing. That is amazing. And you know what I don't do? I don't sit there and I don't go, "Well, they have 82 students. Like, I hope that they don't have more students than us ever. And, you know, I hope that, you know." No, I'm excited that in central Massachusetts, that there is a youth ministry on fire for God, that is taking ground for God, taking the land that God has given them. I am excited for them. I'm cheering them on. I'm excited for them. They have grown their youth group faster than I grew this youth group. And that's what impartation will do, help you go further faster. But nonetheless, that's not the point of what I'm saying. The point of what I'm trying to say is that I'm excited that the kingdom of God is being built. I'm excited that they have some on fire students over at Student Life. I'm not against them. I'm for them. I'm not trying to root for their downfall. I'm not trying to compete with them. We are a part of the same kingdom. We are building God's kingdom. What a blessing to build the kingdom of God. How amazing it is to build the kingdom of God. I am focused on building his kingdom. God cares more about his kingdom than he does your ministry. God cares about his kingdom more than he cares about what you're trying to do with your life. That's why you need to attach whatever you're doing in life. Now I'm going to talk about life because I spent time talking about ministry. And that's why whatever it is that you're to do in life, you should attach it to the kingdom of God. Because God asks people, when he assigns people a task, it's always kingdom focused. It always has an attachment to the kingdom of God in some capacity, where the kingdom of God is going to be blessed through it. Whatever it is that you feel to do with your life, seek the Lord about how you can connect it to the kingdom of God. Evangelist Wesley, my dear friend, he is always talking about this. There are so many different ways that we can connect what we're doing to God's kingdom. I talked to somebody recently that they want to, I think that they said that they want to be a physical therapist. And we were talking about how they can connect that to the kingdom of God. We were talking about how they can, you know, have a Bible study, how they can make it a part of their practice, that they share their faith with all of their, clientele, where they, they do something where they, you know, pray with all of their clientele that they have, where they, help, pastors and church people with discounted rates, or they offer physical therapy for free, or they, you know, give money to a church because physical therapy can be a very successful business. You know, there are so many different ways you can connect what you're doing to the kingdom of God, and you can find out what that is. And here's why you want to connect what you're doing to the kingdom of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Watch this. I love this. This is so powerful. I'm going to read this from the ESV translation. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28. Watch this. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Some translations say an everlasting kingdom. That's what the Bible says. That's what Daniel says, where he talks about a kingdom that cannot be shaken, an everlasting kingdom. Speaking of the kingdom of God. You know why I want to connect what I'm doing to the kingdom of God? Because if I want what I'm doing to matter for this life, then I don't necessarily have to make it connect to the kingdom of God. I mean, Steve Jobs, you know, built Apple and stuff like that. It's not connected to the kingdom of God. It's something that matters in this life, sure. But guess what? The day will come where the heavens and the earth will pass away. The day will come where everything else will cease, but the kingdom of God will be the only thing that is left standing. And so if I connect what I'm doing to his kingdom, then what I am doing matters not only for this life, but it matters for eternity. Matters for eternity. That's why I want to connect everything that I do to the kingdom of God, because I want what I am doing to be connected to God's kingdom. It can't be shaken. If I connect what I'm doing to the kingdom of God, it can't be shaken. It's everlasting. It will stand forever. But if I don't connect it to the kingdom of God, then I'm basically working in vain, because the day will come where I'll die, and the day will come where the earth passes away, and what I do won't matter anymore. Apple won't matter in eternity. It's great. You built an iPhone company. Awesome. Well, didn't he have a mansion, all that? Okay. Doesn't have a mansion anymore. If he didn't give his life to Christ, and I hope he did. I hope that he gave his life to Christ. God's not willing that anybody should perish. But if he didn't give his life to Christ, he's in hell right now. No mansion there. No joy there. Apple don't matter there. He's not like, excuse me, Satan. But do you know that I built Apple? Satan's like, yeah, I don't care. Excuse me, God, can you please take me out of hell, actually, because I built Apple. God, I don't care. I don't care. What does it matter to him for? And I don't even know why you'd be making your appeal to Satan if you were in hell. He's a defeated foe. He can't help you out anyway. God's not going to care. Doesn't matter. I want to do something that matters for eternity. If Apple did something where they used the money that they made to fund the kingdom of God, where they used the money that they had to fund crusades and fund evangelistic efforts, now that's something that matters for eternity. Now when they get to heaven, when a person gets to heaven, if Steve Jobs was a Christian and he did that and he got to heaven, he could stand before God, and for all of eternity, that work will remain, because all the souls that got saved at those events will be with him for eternity. That's something that matters for eternity. Whatever it is that you are doing, make it matter for eternity. Make it matter for eternity. That is building his kingdom. That is the purpose of our lives, is to bring him glory and to build his kingdom. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I hope this is happening. Oh my gosh. Hope this is helping you. My God. Lord, help us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow, what an amazing passage of scripture. It's not as much about us as we would like to think that it is. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. I live for Christ. This kingdom is not a competition. This kingdom is not about clout. This kingdom is a service-based kingdom where the greatest will be a servant. Jesus said, you want to be the greatest of these? Great, be a servant. Too many people in the ministry that are trying to be bowed down to, that are trying to be worshiped, that are trying to be superior to everybody else, but that is exactly what Jesus rebuked with the disciples. Where they were arguing about, I think I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. And then Jesus said, hey, what were you guys talking about back there? And they were like, I don't know. And they didn't want to say, because they were talking about being the greatest. And Jesus said, you want to be the greatest? Become a servant. Become a servant. If God forbid the day comes where people feel like they need to kiss up to me, they need to bow down to me, they need to worship me, I'm some superior human being. Yes, I'm a man of God. Yes, I'm anointed by God, but I am a servant of the Most High God. I am his servant, and you and people that are under my ministry, they do not serve me. They are not my servants. Oh no, I serve them. I serve them. Yes, they may work for the ministry, and they may faithfully serve the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that God has given me, but they're not my servants. They're ultimately servants of God. Ben works for Faith Church. Ben works in Impact Youth, and he does it faithfully, but he does it unto the Lord. He's not doing it because he's Faith Church's servant. He's doing it because he's a servant of God, and that's what God has called him to do. God has called him to serve this ministry, and so he serves it, but he's not serving a human being merely. He's serving the kingdom of God the way that God has asked him to serve it. So ultimately, he's serving God by serving this ministry. That's how it works. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's not as much about us. It's not about our little ministry and our little this and our little that. And it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm doing big things for God. It's like, that's great that you're doing big things for God. But let us not forget that the big things we are doing for God are so that we may build his kingdom. No matter how big my thing gets, no matter how big Freedom Generation Ministry gets, no matter how big Impact gets or Faith Church gets, and I'm telling you, we're getting big. We're getting big. Impact Youth is going to keep on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I was looking at our numbers and just our growth. It has been amazing how much we have grown at Impact Youth. I would love to, at some point, I'm going to get a percentage on how much that we've grown between last year and this year. But man, we've grown. We've grown so much. What used to be highs for us for attendance are now lows for us in attendance. Ben told me we had 99 students last night at Impact, and I was like, in 99, I like to be specific, I'm not an exaggerator, but 99 students, and I thought there were like, I thought there were like 77 students. I was like, there's like, I literally said to him, what was there, like 77, something like that, and he was like, nope, 99. I was like, really? It felt like there was nobody there. That used to be, there was a day where if we had 99 students, we were in revival, man. I mean, like, it was like there was a miracle of God taking place at our youth ministry, but those days are far behind us where we look at 99 students and we go, man, where is everybody? Man, I can't wait for people to get back from vacation, and I can't wait for, you know, for school to come back and stuff like that. You know, it's a new day. It's a new day for us. It really is. And we're getting big. So I'm not saying that I'm not trying to build something big for God. I am trying to build something big for God. Absolutely. But no matter how big I get, my kingdom, or rather not my kingdom, God's kingdom will always be bigger than what I'm building. God's kingdom will always be bigger than what I'm building. I'm not building my kingdom. I'm building the thing God's asked me to build, and it's attached to something that will always be bigger. The kingdom of God will always be bigger. No matter, I can have 15,000 in my youth ministry. The kingdom of God is still bigger. So we have to, in humility, understand that and realize it. You know, your company, your workplace can be the biggest workplace on planet Earth, but it's still not bigger than the kingdom of God. The thing that God's asked you to do is still not bigger than the kingdom of God. No matter how big that it gets, you will always be ultimately a part of the kingdom of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. I want to show you this. This will bless you, and I'm going to break this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Says this, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For one, when one says, I follow Paul and I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? I want to stop right there. This is how some people in the kingdom of God talk. People that are, and I'm just speaking about kingdom people, not just people that are in the ministry. This is how people talk in the kingdom of God as Christians. Well, I follow this ministry. Well, I follow that ministry. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being connected to a ministry. You know, as I mentioned, Ben is connected to this ministry. This is where God has called him to be and to be planted. But people almost get this fleshly jealousy and strife where they're like, yeah, well, I follow this ministry. So that means that my ministry is better than your ministry. And, you know, my thing is better than your thing. And this thing that we have over here, and like, oh, we're just the best thing. And we're just this and we're just that. And it becomes this weird, jealous, competitive strife where people are more focused on their ministry or the ministry they're connected to realizing that there is something bigger out there. There is the kingdom of God that's out there. Yeah, you should focus on the ministry you're connected to. You should focus on the place that you're planted. You should be loyal there. You should be plugged in. But don't stick up your nose at other ministries that are doing great things for God just because you're connected somewhere else. Cheer them on. Be excited. The Bible says, spur one another on in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Spur one another in the faith. Yeah, absolutely. To encourage each other. That's awesome what you're doing over there. There's a pastor I've been listening to recently more. His name is Pastor Jabin Chavez. He is a pastor of a church called City Light in Las Vegas. Man, he has built something massive for God. He has a huge building and property for God in Las Vegas, one of the most sinful cities in all of the world, if not the most sinful city in the world. But he's taken that city for God. And I don't work for Pastor Jabin, but man, do I respect what he's doing for the kingdom of God. Imagine if I was like, oh, well, that's nice that Pastor Jabin is building a big thing for God over there in Las Vegas. But, you know, that's not Impact Youth. We got something better over here. Okay, that's nice thank you for not caring about the kingdom of God at all. Be excited that there's other things happening in the kingdom of God. Don't be so culty where it's just about your thing and what you're doing. Understand that the kingdom of God is so much bigger than that. The Bible then says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Watch this. Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. Oh, you know, I just love Pastor so-and-so. He's just Pastor so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so. He is just, wow. Wow. This is how some people talk about men of God. It makes me disgusted. I want to go find a toilet right now and vomit it all out. And then maybe go back again and vomit it again. Bowing down to people of God as if they are the ones who are doing it. They're just so anointed. They're just so anointed. I lay at your feet, man of God, woman of God. Would you like me to clean your shoes? Would you like me? Disgusting. Disgusting. Ugh. Ugh. Go ahead and hit me with a yuck in the comments if you would. Yuck. Disgusting. Cam, I know that you're going to give me the biggest yuck of them all right in the comments. Cam's somebody that's very connected to our ministry, one of our youth leaders and a great friend, but she watches every week. I know Pastor AJ. If Pastor AJ is watching right now, that's our Wolcott youth pastor. Pastor AJ is going to give me a big yuck in the comments too, I'm sure. But it's disgusting. It's disgusting the way that people worship human beings as if they're not just a part of the kingdom of God and servants of the Most High God. It says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants. That's who we are. That's who ministers of the gospel. We're servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. Some people become so culty and weird where they act as though you just have to obey whatever they say. Whatever you say, I'll just do. Pastor Joey, if you just say it, I'll just do it. Just tell me, like, I'll just obey. If you don't want me to go to Taco Bell, okay, I won't go to Taco Bell. You don't want me to do this, okay. Oh, you do this thing that the Bible says not to do? Well, then that means that I should do this thing that the Bible says not to do. Are you serious? What's the matter with you? Do you follow Jesus Christ or do you follow your pastor? If your pastor walked away from the Lord, would you walk away from the Lord with them? My pastor says that it's, I don't know, okay to lie. My pastor lies all the time, so I lie too. Oh, nice. I didn't realize that you were a follower of the pastor. I didn't realize that you were a follower of the pastor of that church. I thought you were a follower of Jesus Christ, but okay, whatever they say, right? If they went and they had sex with a bunch of people, you would go do it too, right? No, we weigh everything against the word. The word is what keeps you from joining a cult. The word is what keeps you upright. The word is what keeps you. The word is our plumb line, as the book of Amos says, that the word is our plumb line. It is where we see what is right and what is wrong. The word shows us what is right and what is wrong. I weigh everything against the word. Even as Pastor Frank speaks, and we have a great pastor here. I love him very much, not just because he's my father, but he's my pastor. And when he says things, I weigh it against the word. In fact, in the book of Acts, the Berean church is commended for weighing everything against the word of God and saying, you earnestly sought the scriptures to see if what we were teaching was proper or not. I encourage you, even as I'm talking now, weigh me against the scriptures. If the Bible says something different, go with the Bible. Go with the Bible. I am more than willing to take a back seat to the Bible. If there is something in me that is wrong, God, reveal it to me. Show it to me in the Word, because the Word is right. The Bible is right, and somebody's wrong. Right, Evangelist Wesley? The Bible's right, and somebody's wrong. It's the truth. It's the truth. The Bible's right. The Bible's right. The Bible's right. Well, they're anointed, though. That's nice that they're anointed. Saul was anointed, too. Saul was anointed too, and he tried to kill David. God didn't like that. But guess what? He was still anointed. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That's in your Bible. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But God will only allow someone to live a certain way for so long until he takes them out. We see it happen with a bunch of ministers. I won't get into their names and stuff. But the truth of the matter is that we need to be Bible people. Come on, people. Let's get back to the Bible. We are the people of God. We are not the people of a ministry. We are not the people of a pastor. We are the people of God, and we are building his kingdom and his kingdom first. I'm a kingdom builder, man. I want to be a kingdom builder. Whatever his word says, I want to obey, and I want to listen to it. I want to listen to it. We are servants of God. You are not a follower of anything other than Christ first. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Some people like to the follow me part, but not as I follow Christ. Well, I don't like what he's saying right now. The Bible does say, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, if somebody walks out of Christ, you stop following them. If somebody can be great and they can be anointed and all that stuff, and there's so much great things you can learn from them, the minute that they say to do something or they show you something that's not Christ, that's where you part with them on that issue. It's when you go in a different direction with them on that issue. So we need to weigh everything to the word. We need to weigh everything to the word. We need to follow the word. We need to be building his kingdom. Building his kingdom. It says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. but only God who gives the growth. It's about his kingdom. It's about what he's doing. God gets all the glory for everything that happens. I haven't saved one person. I haven't healed one person. Haven't delivered one person. I've been an agent that God has used many times to see someone saved and to see somebody healed and to see somebody delivered. I've been his agent, certainly. I've been somebody that God has used in a mighty way to do great things and to God be the glory, absolutely. And so I'm not sitting here in false humility like, I've never done anything for God. No, I have done things for God, absolutely. But at the same time, I know that I've only done those things by the grace of God, and it's God who gets all of the glory. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's our Savior. Praise God. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. It is about building his kingdom. Building his kingdom. I challenge you today to be a kingdom builder. I challenge you to not follow a man before you follow Christ. I challenge you to make Christ the center. I challenge you that as you are as you're going throughout life and you're doing the things that God has asked you to do, connect everything to the kingdom. It'll have an everlasting impact. I'm building his kingdom. I hope that you'll join me in doing that. If you're a part of another ministry, praise God. If you're seeing people saved and healed and delivered and the kingdom of God is growing because of your ministry, praise God. That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you. Excited for what God's doing in everybody's lives that are watching. And I'm excited to see his kingdom continue to be built. I want to go ahead and take a moment before I close this broadcast. And if you would stay with me and not turn me off yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give in just a moment. Before I do that, I want to do something very important. I want to build God's kingdom. If you're watching this podcast or YouTube, whatever you're watching it on, I want to give you an opportunity to get right with Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're watching and you're saying to yourself, you know, Joey, I'm hearing about this kingdom, but I'm not sure if I'm a part of it. The only people that are a part of this kingdom are people who have given their life to Jesus Christ. The Bible's very clear that God created us, but we rebelled against God. That rebellion is called sin. Sin is the reason for all the bad we see in the world, but ultimately the Bible says the payment for our sin is death. We all deserve to die because of our sins. But I have good news for you, not bad news. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came down to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted to sin just like you and I were tempted to sin, just as you and I are tempted to do wrong stuff. He was tempted just like us, but he did not sin. He went to that cross and he took the payment for our sin, which was death. He died on that cross for us. He paid the price for our sin, for your sin, for my sin, for the sins of the world. He was then buried in the ground, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And today, he gives you an invitation. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. He is life. He is the way to heaven. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way. It doesn't matter if your grandma prayed for you. It doesn't matter if you went to church a couple times or baptized as a baby. If you have not given your life to Christ, if you have not turned your back on sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, then none of it matters. None of it matters. Today's your day of salvation. Today's your day to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you want to give your life to Jesus right where you're watching, just go ahead and close your eyes, lift your hands, and say this prayer, not to me, but say it to Jesus. Say, Jesus, today, I give you my life. I turn my back on the way I was living, and I put my faith in you. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you were buried in the ground. And I believe that you rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a Christian now. A real Christian. And I'm not turning back. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God if you said that prayer for the first time. so thankful that you gave your life to Christ. It's the greatest decision that you could ever do. I'm literally so happy if you just did that. If you just gave your life to Christ, if you would go ahead and you can either drop a comment on YouTube or you can go ahead and DM us on our Instagram. Ben, if you can flash that right in front of us right now, our Instagram, go ahead and DM us. Let us know that you got saved. We'll be happy to reach out to you. Again, I got to remember to get our I Just Got Saved set up. I keep on forgetting to do that. We want to get that set up on Freedom Generation's website. I'm so excited for you. We want to help you take your next steps in your faith in Christ. But I want to go ahead and take a second and take an offering and give you an opportunity to give. And it is an opportunity to give, by the way. It's not a they just want money. No, I don't care. If you feel that way, I just want money. Go ahead and turn off the rest of the broadcast. You don't ever have to listen to me again. I really don't care. If you never give a dime to this ministry, I'm not going to, you know, not pray for you or, you know, not like you. It's up between you and the Lord. But if you would go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll make this very quick, very, very quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Anybody that knows their Bible knew that I was wrong right away when I said that, because that's very basic. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. In other words, when you sow sparingly, when you sow a little, you'll reap a little. But when you sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'm not pressuring you to give today. This is not a give Joey money, please, I'm begging you. You know, I'm trying to make you feel uncomfortable, like you have to give. You don't want to give, you don't have to give. God loves a cheerful giver. But if you feel to give something today, you can go ahead and give into the kingdom of God. And you don't have to give under pressure, none of those reasons. Give because you have a cheerful heart. But the good news is, when you sow, the Bible says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly, but if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Praise God. Whatever you choose to sow today, it will come back to you. It will come back to you. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And that is in the context of finances. If you want to sow a seed today to Freedom Generation Ministries, I promise you this, that when you sow into the kingdom of God, it will come back to you. That is a guarantee, because the Bible guarantees it. Prove me wrong if you don't agree with me. The Bible says, whatever you sow, you'll reap. And that is in the context of finances in Galatians chapter 6. Yes, I went to Bible school. I'm not an idiot. I do know the context of the text. People just think I'm this dumb prosperity preacher that just, you know, preaches prosperity but doesn't know context. I actually know context probably better than you that are in your, you know, mom's basement or anything like that, criticizing different people and stuff like that. The point is, I do know context. I won't go any further. I won't go any further into that. And the reason I said in your mom's basement is not because I was just trying to be a mean person. I'm saying that because there are people that like make exposed channels on like YouTube, and like there are people that they like literally looks like they're in a basement with like a wife beater on or something like that. And they're just like sitting there. It's like a grainy video. They're like exposed, false prophet so-and-so or whatever. So it's like, yeah, that's why I said that. But nonetheless, I know what I'm talking about. The Bible says when you sow, you'll reap. I have no idea why we got there, but that's okay. When we sow, we'll reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. If you sow into the kingdom of God, you'll reap in the kingdom of God. And you sow, you reap what you sow. You don't reap, you know, you don't reap something different than you sow. You know, when we sow financially, we don't always receive financially. We sometimes we get it in different ways. That doesn't even make sense in the natural. If you sow apple seeds, you get apples. You don't get bananas. Makes no sense. When you sow financially, you'll reap financially. You'll reap financially. Praise God. Praise God. Sow a seed that matters to you today. If it doesn't matter to you, it doesn't matter to God. If $5 matters to you, then praise the Lord for that $5. If you don't want to give anything at all, that's all right. But go ahead, and if you're going to sow, and you're watching this right now, right in front of me. The giving slide should probably be popping up right now. And you can see different ways that you can give. We have our QGive set up, so you can give literally any way that you want. Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, or you can go ahead and give through our giving platform that you'll see on the screen, QGive. I think that that's on the giving slide, right? QGive? Okay. Well, QGive's on the giving slide then. You can just go ahead and give by card right on QGive. And, if you want to be a partner, you can partner with us every single month. If you feel to do that and you feel a connection to this ministry and you know, you're excited for what, you know, God's doing in this generation, you can partner for that as well. Go ahead and lift your offering up wherever you're at. I'm going to pray over it right now. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that everybody that has purpose in their heart to be able to sow a seed, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that it would come back to them, Lord, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I thank you for this precious seed. May it be used to reach many with the gospel. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful you tuned into the Uncanceled Podcast. We love you so much. Talk to you next week. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.